Blog Talk Radio.
Radio Land. This is your host and friend, the Sand Tiger, DJ Southeast Vince, coming at you from a place called Durham, North Carolina, and this is Black by Color only on CNM Radio. On this show, I will discuss current events and issues that affect the black race and take on the apostles of blackness. Hopefully, you'll get something from this show, and if you have a question or a comment, make sure you season it well with respect. Well, I'll push the kick button and you will suffer the curse of the fruit bat. So don't come here being a fruit bat, as this is a fruit bat free program. You are listening to Black by Color only. Hey there, everybody out there in Blog Talk Radio land. Welcome back to Black by Color Only, the show where I take on the black nation. If you would like to be a guest to call in to the show, the call-in number is 646-478-5284. That's 646-478-5284. And you can call in and talk about anything related to the subject matter. But I will give you a word of warning. I will not tolerate excessive profanity, ad hominem attacks, character assassinations, gaslighting, random insults, things of that sort. If you come on this program and you think you want to make your point, you want to get your point across by indulging in those type of activities, I will assure you, you will have a very short time on this radio program, because I'm not going to tolerate this kindergarten sandbox slinging sand type of rhetoric on this program. Okay. If you want to come here and, you know, discuss something, be an adult about it. Okay. And show some respect. All right. So having said all that, I just want to let people know, of course, last week I didn't have a show because at the first of the month, I have determined that I will not have a program in order to spend time with family. And I tell you one thing, I almost didn't make it today. You know, I just barely got, you know, everything going about a few minutes ago. Today I was summoned by someone. They were these were people I've known for a good part of 30 years. They were having a grand opening of their nursing school. A husband and wife, and people I knew pretty well, and they wanted me to take pictures. And those of you all who remember, 3 weeks ago I had to take pictures at a graduation. And so these same people, they were at that graduation, and they said, Vincent, we want you to take pictures during our grand opening. And of course, me being one, the aspiring photographer that I am, I jumped at that moment and I said, cool, I'm going to get it done, you know, and went out there And it's been very hot and humid in Durham lately. And I contemplated whether to wear shorts or pants when I went out there. And when I got out, but I ended up wearing pants. But when I got out there, I started to regret it because it was very humid. It was the humidity, you know. And got out there, took all the pictures and whatever. And they said they greatly appreciated it and whatever. And had an all-around good time. But then after that, my wife wanted to go out. We went to Red Robin. She had a gift card. And we went out there, enjoyed some time together. And I got in, you know, got myself cleaned up and whatever. And had to do something right at the last minute there before I got on here. But I'm here now, back in the saddle, ready to take on the Apostles of Blackness. Sometimes, you know, I have to wonder if I really want to take off that 1 week at the first of the month, because sometimes that seems to be when, you know, the news really gets interesting. And here lately, you know, the news is, you know, for the past, I don't know how many years, maybe 3 years, things have gotten real interesting, you know, in the news cycle. And it's become easier to do a show. You can do a show almost at the last minute, you know, so to speak. And so here lately in the first few, the last few days or whatever, we've had some things that happen. And it just makes you like, you know, now those of you all who know me, you know, I'm a person, I am an independent. Hey there, Duck, Northwest Media. I'm a person who likes to march to the beat of my own drummer. I say this all the time. I probably say it ad nauseum. I'm an independent, free thinking black person. I don't cater to any political party, even though my rhetoric might sound like a Republican, conservative, and whatever. What I tell people, first and foremost, I am a born-again Christian. That's the first thing off the bat. You know, I let people know this because, you know, I don't want people to think that I'm just about, you know, hey, we need to have the right political party here, and we need to make I have no problem with people being patriotic or anything, but I don't want people to think that, you know, I'm just here to make America great, you know, something like that. You know, I love this country. I think it's the best country in the world, but I don't have what a lot of people call American pride. I think we live in the best country in the world. That's fine. You know, if you want to be patriotic, that's fine with me. You know, we just had Independence Day and whatever, but I'm not a person who's about, I'm not about making America, you know, exclusive or anything like that, if that makes any sense. You know, I'm about truth in everything, not just in America, but in other countries as well. You know, I want to bring the truth. And what I say might sound patriotic and everything, and I do believe that a lot of things, you know, American exceptionalism is, you know, for a large part is a good thing. You know, we've taken on some godly principles here in this country, which is why we enjoy the freedoms that we have today. Although the powers that be want to wear down those freedoms. And that's all I'm about is the truth. You know, this past Independence Day, the day before Independence Day is my wife's birthday. And so I bought her a shirt that says America on it. You know, it has the, you know, the flag and the eagles and everything and stuff like that on it and everything. And we wore our America shirts. Now, some people might take umbrage with that. They might say, well, you know, you shouldn't be about America like that and everything. You're involved in idolatry, which is something I do not like to take up, you know, but I'm an American too. And do I think American exceptionalism is on par with biblical truth? No, I do not. I don't. But the freedoms that we have in this country, I think they are worth fighting for. Every country, I believe, should enjoy some of the freedoms or any of the freedoms that we have here in America, really. But you got some people that are trying to taint that freedom by saying anything goes. If you're going to have freedom to do something, there has to be rules and regulations to regulate that freedom. You can't just say, hey, I got freedom. I just want to do anything I want to. That's like, you know, if you're playing a football game, you know, in football, they have rules and regulations, you know, and a lot of it is to protect the players and to make for a clean, honest game. Now, if somebody just came in there and said, you know what, I just feel like doing this and, you know, I'll just do whatever I want. And then someone says, okay, well, you go ahead, do whatever you want. You know, you're going to have a messed up game. The game is not going to be organized. And that's how I see it in America. But you got certain powers that be are trying to say, well, if we're free in this country, we should be free to do whatever we want. We just come off of Pride Month, so-called Pride Month, you know, where the homosexuals are trying to push their agenda on everyone else, even though they tell you that that's not what their goal is. But by their actions, you know that's what it is. But they want to say that people who are against them, not people who are committing acts of violence against them or anything like that, but anyone who disagrees with them, they want to tell them you're a bigot, you're evil, you know, and they want to shove their rhetoric down your throat. But on the other hand, they're saying, no, that's not what we're trying to do. We just want to equal, you know, we just want equal play on the field too. No, you're trying to, you're pushing an agenda. Some part of your faction has even come up to say, part of their faction has even said that we want your children. We're coming after your children. And they say, well, we don't mean it the way that you heard it. Well, what does it mean? If you're coming after our children, we want your children. That means they have an agenda and they will shove it down our throats. And they'll use the media. They'll use the education system. They'll intimidate places of worship to tell people to accept them for who they are because we want to shove our agenda down your throat. That is not freedom. That's that you are the. And sad to say, they're largely successful because you have a news media. Their lapdog, the news media, is sitting in their lap and they're sitting there patting that lapdog and everything. And the news media is trying to dictate the narrative. They're trying to harness the narrative by telling everybody, nah, this is not what's going on. And anybody who speaks out against the homosexuals, they're nothing but bigots. They're racist. They're all this and everything and stuff like that. You know, all the regular plays in their playbook. But getting back to what I wanted to talk about today, we had three news stories, I guess you can say, that have happened that reminds me how stupid some people are in our news media. And sad to say, each one that I'm going to talk about today, that I'm going to try to discuss today, if I could get to all of them, they all had to deal with black women. Now, when I say that, you know, a lot of people, they already got their, they're already on guard. They got their fighting stance up. They're ready to, you know, do their, you know, their metaphorical martial arts on me if I talk about black women. Now, given I have no problem with black women per se, my mom's a black woman. I got aunts and, you know, other relatives and cousins. They're all black women. I'm married to a black woman. So when you come up here and you say, oh, you just want to talk against the black women and everything, and so you need to protect our black women. I have no problem with protecting black women. But when they come up and start bringing up this stupid beaver scat that they like to talk in our news media, then I have to speak out against it, because a lot of what they're saying are a bunch of lies. And when you get a liberalized black woman going in the news media, you got something on your hands. Because a lot of them, they don't have a thought process. They don't use logic when they make their discussions. They're always coming off hostile. It's like they're at the ready. You know, if someone is facing them that has a different point of view, they're already there. They're like, you know, they bring their hostilities with them, and they already have you figured out. They got you figured out to a T. I know who you are. You are a conservative. You are a Republican. You are a Christian, and I already know what you are about. And they even get to the point where they say, if I see a book that is written by a conservative, I don't read it, because they're conservatives. Conservatives are racist, and they're bigots. They're hateful. Without realizing the same accusations they make against conservatives and Republicans and Christians, they are more than 10 times as guilty of those accusations than anyone else is. Let me start off with a lady that you all may have heard of. I may have mentioned her on this show a few times. And this lady, how did I explain it to my wife this week? I say this lady is about as dense as 5 tons of lead. And this lady's name, she probably doesn't need an introduction, but I'm going to tell you who she is. Her name is Joy Reid. Now, Joy Reid is some kind of correspondent on MSNBC. I believe she's a token black woman, to be honest with you. You know, they talk about token black people on the conservative side, but this woman is pretty much a token black woman for MSNBC, a liberal black woman. And I believe that they have her on basically on MSNBC to say, hey, we love black people. See, we got a black woman here. And she gets up there and she just spouts off some of the most ridiculous drivel that I think I've ever heard from anybody. And they used to have a lady named, that dip-headed lady with the braids in her head. I forgot her name. Her name's at the tip of my tongue. But they just replaced this lady, Melissa Harris Perry. Yeah, Melissa Harris Perry. And basically, they just replaced Melissa Harris Perry with someone who is playing a little bit deeper in the mud than she did. And wait a minute, I got something going off on my phone here. Oh, it's an Amber Alert. So, but Joy Reid is probably one of the most reprehensible type people that you will see on TV. And this lady, she just spouts off at the lip. She just rips off at the mouth about stuff she really does not understand what she is saying. And people listen to her and they're like, oh, she is so deep. Listen to her talk. Oh, she's a proud black woman. Oh, she's trying to defend black rights. But this woman, how can I say it? The bananas are ripe, but the monkeys ain't swinging. You know, this lady, I mean, when you listen to her, it's just like, you know, whatever comes in her head, she just throws it out, you know, like verbal diarrhea, basically. And no, I'm not going to be nice when I, you know, when I talk about these people. I'm not going to be nice because they what they're doing, they're making victims of their own audience because they're trying to gain some ratings so that they can make money. And they want to sit here and talk about the victimization of black folks, but they themselves are pretty much millionaires. I don't know if Joy Reid is a millionaire. I believe she is. I would love to see where Joy Reid lives. You know, she's always talking about, you know, uplifting black people and, you know, what the white man is doing, to, you know, to keep black people down and everything like that. But here she is. She is probably more successful than your typical white person is in this country. But she always wants to talk about, you know, what the white man is doing and how they keeping me down and all this and everything and stuff like that. So this week, I believe it was this week, she goes off on a rant. On a diarrheal rant about affirmative action. Now I'm going to play a clip. This one is going to be kind of lengthy, and this just shows you what to, and I might stop, you know, at certain intervals to, you know, explain some things that she's saying or whatever. But you know, if you have the stomach to do so, you know, I invite you to listen to this clip. So let me get this thing started. Well, first of all, let me just start by saying this. A lot of people, when they hear the word Harvard, they always think of a prestigious college in this country. But we got a lot of people who have gone through Harvard let's just say they don't have enough brains. They don't have enough brains to blow their noses. As corny as that sounds. Just because you go to college does not mean you are a smart person. And this is a misconception from a lot of people. Oh, you went to this school. You went to that school. Oh, you must be smart. No, because I know some people who have gone to college, who didn't know how to read all that well. When they graduated from college, guess what? They still didn't know how to read that well. So college does not make you smarter. College just, you know, you'd go there, you do the term papers, you pass your tests and whatever. And then after the end of so many years, they give you a document, say, hey, you pass your tests, you know, you turn in your papers, you know, and now here you are, here's your degree. So you're on your way. A lot of people think because a person goes to college that they are expert in a certain field, that they're an expert in the field that they went to college for. And I try to explain to people, this does not make you an expert. An expert is a person who goes into the trenches, sans the education and everything. They go into the trenches. And they build up a thing called experience. And because they have experienced these things, this is what makes them. Because you went to college and, you know, you did your, you turned in your homework and wrote up some good term papers and whatever, and you made it to class all the time, and now you got a degree hanging on your wall. That does not make you an expert. And a lot of people, they have this sense of pride about them when they get a degree. They think that, oh, I got this degree, so I am above you. I am part of the elite. And you, what degree do you have? Do you have any peer-reviewed papers that I can analyze? But I do. Look at my degree. And sometimes I want to take them degrees and set them on fire and say, hey, yeah, your degree ain't worth much. Because I can just set it on fire. I can soak it in some lighter fluid and just set it on fire. Now, what's your degree worth now? Basically, your college degrees are nothing more than a sense of pride. That's all it is, really. Just to say, I accomplished this. And so now you're in your office tapping on your computer and you got your degree hanging on the wall behind you, and you think you're all that because you went to Harvard, or you went to USC, or you went to Brown, or you went to Yale or any of these other prestigious colleges, and you think, oh, I am above the fray. I am levels ahead of everybody else. And I think this is the reason why we turn out so many airheads like Joy Reid, because they think they're all that, and they think that, you know, just by them speaking, people need to listen because I went to Harvard. But anyway, let me go on with the video. Now, before I go any further, last week, the Supreme Court, they struck down race-based affirmative action. There were certain schools, and two schools in particular, UNC, which I'm somewhat familiar with because I live, you know, hop, skip, and a jump from UNC in Chapel Hill, and Harvard. They had a race-based quota system where, you know, they had to bring in a certain amount of minorities, in particular blacks and Hispanics, because they don't want to be seen at, they do it in the name of diversity, but basically what they're doing, they're trying to not look like that they're racist, because we got all these white people here. Where are the black people? Where are the Hispanic people? And so they're like, they have this race-based quota system that they call affirmative action, in which they lowered the standards for black folks and Hispanics so that they can get a leg up on the whites and the Asians. Because, you know, they feel like, you know, because you're black, you're Hispanic, that you're at a disadvantage simply because you're black and Hispanic. And basically what they're saying is you'll never measure up to white people. So we're going to have to lower your standards so you can get in just like the white folks are in. But folks don't, they don't stop and realize that white folks aren't, you know, the most successful group of people in this country. It's the Asians. And see, they try to tell the Asians, okay, Asians, you have to score up in this, at this level, but black folks only have to score at this level. And so what was happening was a lot of qualified Asian folks, and probably white folks too, they were left out in the dust by black people who did not qualify as much as they did because of race-based quotas. And people think this is being fair, and it's not being fair. It's not fair at all. It's not fair to the white folks. It's not fair to the Asians. It's not fair to the black folks, because you're getting a bunch of unqualified folks where they should not be. And just to say, okay, we're diverse, so this lessens the weight of racism off of us. And so this makes us look good. But let me tell you something. If you got a person, let's say you got person A and person B. Person A is making big time strides. Let's say person A wants to be a doctor or something. And they are making strides in the medical field. Oh, man, A+, A+, you know, they're just making nothing but A's and B's. But you get another person, he's trying, but he's making B's, C's, and D's. Now, person A is an Asian student. Person B is a black student. But in order, in the name of diversity, they would rather take person B, who is not as successful as person A when it comes to the grades, and they say, we want to bring in person B because this will make us look more diverse, and it'll lighten that load of racism that's on our shoulders. That's basically what they're saying. Now tell me, who would you rather operate on you when you go to the hospital? Somebody who didn't do as much as person A did? Or you want somebody who is really qualified based on merit and not race? The sense this is the type of sense that gets lost on a lot of these people. They don't think in terms of that. They're so caught up in their skin color. And they think this gives black people, and I'll say black people, a fair advantage over everybody else because, you know, we black people, you know, we can't measure up to the white folks. We gotta work 10 times as hard as white folks without realizing that white folks have to work hard too. And the same amount of hard work that a white person does to get ahead is the same amount of work that a black person needs to do to get ahead. They don't need to work 10 times as hard. And they'll tell you that, but they have no showing of it. They have no proof that a black person has to work 10 times as hard as everybody else in order to get in the playing field. No proof. They have no statistical data. And they sit here and they bemoan, well, how come y'all don't have enough black folk over here? You know, like in the NFL, how come y'all don't have enough black head coaches? You got black head coaches in the NFL. Few of them won the Super Bowl. But see, they're not happy unless they see more black folks being coaches and less white folks. Now, you should be happy because 75% of the NFL is black folks. And I don't hear white folks saying, no, they got an unfair advantage. They got an unfair advantage. But they think they're entitled to this simply because, oh, I am part of a minority, which means I'm not going to have the same advantage as white folks. And then they start throwing out this white privilege garbage and everything to white folks. And then when you point out that there are white folks who are poor too, they say, well, they have privilege, but they just don't realize it. Stupid. But let me go on with the stupidity. One of the most brilliant people she has ever met, but this woman, Ketanji Brown Jackson, couldn't tell you what a woman is. Someone asked her, what is a woman? She's like, I don't know what a woman is. I'm not a biologist. But people are sitting there singing her praises because she's the first black woman on the Supreme Court. But she couldn't tell you what a woman is. And she knows she got on the Supreme, and she knows she is the first black woman on the Supreme Court. She knows that. But she gets up there and says, well, I don't know what a woman is. You know, I'm not a biologist. Do you need to be a biologist to understand what a man and a woman is? But this is one of the smartest people that I know. Let me go ahead with the stupidity. And she knows this, how, you know, and for the record, I've spoken with so-called Geechies before. They don't like being called Geechie. They don't like being called Geechie. So I don't know what she's talking about here. I don't know what the Geechie tongue is supposed to be. Because most of the people that I know that are supposed Geechies, they speak English. It might be kind of broken English and whatever, but they do speak English. And she's, once again, she's just going off on this verbal diarrhea. She really doesn't know what she's saying that, you know, he's coming off some kind of rage and that's why he's doing this. And, you know, basically what she's leading to is saying that Clarence Thomas benefited from affirmative action and now he's biting the hand that fed him. That's basically what she's saying. That's basically what she's saying. And this, like I said, this woman is as dense as 5 tons of lead. But let me go on. Let me go on with the stupidity. Okay, I'm getting some comments in my chat room saying that they cannot hear me. Can you hear me now? This gets a little frustrating sometimes, but hey. Can you hear me? No sound from the video? Are you serious? Oh, my goodness. Okay, well. Let's see. I don't know why they can't hear me. I thought I had the sound up loud enough. Thought I had it up loud enough. No sound from the video. Okay. All right. Well, let me do the best I can here. I don't know why they can't hear the video. Let's see. Bear with me, folks. Bear with me. Just when I thought I was going good. Anyway, let me go here. Okay, well, you know what, you all, I'm going to do the best I can. Man, this is a crazy mess. This is crazy. Oh, there we go. All right, let me continue with this clip of Joyless Reed here. Hopefully you all can hear this.
Members of that Judiciary Committee and wavering senators.
They needed Democratic votes. There was a Democratic majority. That's why Joe Biden is in those hearings running. They needed the Democratic votes.
And it was only Black people's support in those polls that got wavering Democrats to vote for him. And he has repaid Black people with scorn ever since.
Let me ask you a follow-up question about the pathos here. Because, by the way...
So what she's saying here is that, you know, Clarence Thomas, well, she said that the sexual charges brought up against him, you know, we all remember the Anita Hill thing and whatever, that those were credible. They were credible. And people were against Clarence Thomas before those allegations came to light, you know, and people didn't like him simply because he was a Black man who was a conservative. That's basically why they did not like Clarence Thomas, because to them, it just blew their minds that how can this man be a conservative and he's Black? And yeah, Pianki, voter support does not equate to fair. This is the kind of stupidity that these guys engage in. This is a stupidity that they engage in. And let me just keep on playing this.
The front line that we play clips of and Slover, both about Clarence Thomas's trajectory, I cannot recognize them both highly enough. They're just exquisite pieces of journalism. And the story is fascinating. I mean, he's really one of the most interesting figures in American life. I really believe this in terms of that trajectory. I mean, there's a moment in Slow Burn where Joel Anderson, who's the fantastic host and the academic Leah Wright-Rador, who wrote a great book about Black conservatives, they're talking about their own experience in elite white-dominant institutions, right? Of that kind of, that feeling, that suspicion, okay, from white folks, oh, you're an affirmative action case. Now, in Thomas's case, that it's a defining anger of his life. But it's also real. And I feel a little weird as a white person being like, you know, I don't want to like...
Defining anger? Where did they get this mess from? How do they know that the reason why he does what he does is because he's angry? He has a rage. You know, he's biting the hand that fed him. How do they know this? They just get up there and they just spill... The words spill out of their lips like a broken dam. And they just get up here and they just say whatever comes in their heads. They never talk to Clarence Thomas because, no, oh, no, I'll never, you know, because, you know, Clarence Thomas is a conservative. You know how them conservatives are. But they never sit down and discuss anything with Clarence Thomas. And even if they did, they probably wouldn't even let him get a word in. We're going to talk about that, you know, on another clip if I can get to it on this show. But how do they know that this man is doing what he does out of rage and anger? I mean, they don't know what they are talking about. Let me continue.
Thomas' experience was in any way not legitimate. Like, I think he comes by it honestly. But I'm curious how you think about it, and you think about that sort of coded racism that comes in those institutions and circumstances, and what it means for the broader question of whether we should have it constitutionally.
Well, let me just be clear. I got into Harvard only because of affirmative action. I went to a school no one had ever heard of in Denver, Colorado, in a small suburb. I didn't go to Exeter or Andover. Yeah, I didn't have college test prep. I just happened to be really nerdy and smart and have really good grades and good SAT scores.
Right.
But someone came to Denver, Colorado to look for me.
Someone came to Denver looking for Joy Reid because, you know, she's this nerd and she qualifies and everything. And, you know, we want to help this girl get into Harvard, you know, with our affirmative action. Now, let me key you all in on something. Joy Reid is a couple of months younger than I am. I was born in October of 1968. She was born in December of 1968. You are not going to sit here and tell me that Joy Reid got into Harvard because of affirmative action. And that she was just so smart and all this and, you know, we want her to come to Harvard. But let me allow her to blather on.
Did a pre-interview to pull me into Harvard. I was pulled in, and the school like Harvard and Yale that I got into affirmatively.
Yeah.
And it was literally not saying we're going to take an unqualified person and put them
right.
in Harvard.
Yeah.
We're going to take a very qualified person who we would never know existed and put them in Harvard. That's how I got there. That's how Ketanji got there. That's how Justice Jackson got there. It's how Clarence Thomas got there.
Right.
But the minute I arrived, from my majority black little town, Montbello in Denver, to Harvard, the first like week or two that I was in class, my presence was questioned by white people. I was in this big conference class where some white students stood up and said, those students, the black students, they're only here because of affirmative action. It became a huge argument that we all ended up having. This was freshman year. I had never had my academic.
Do you all believe that this is what happened with Joy Reid when she got to Harvard? A bunch of white students came up and said, oh, she's black. She doesn't belong here. I find that very hard to believe. I do. I really do. You might sit there and say, well, you don't know the situation. But I'm not saying that it didn't happen. I'm just saying it's hard to believe. I'm saying it's very hard to believe. Like I said, she is just a couple of months younger than I am. Now, if Harvard is pushing out a bunch of airheads like Joy Reid, I think they need to take the prestigious title off of their school. Because if this is what the type of people that you're churning out, I don't think you're that as prestigious as people make you out to be. Yeah, it may cost an arm and a leg and some of you and a couple of kidneys to get into Harvard. It doesn't mean that you are all that prestigious. If this is the product of Harvard University, you have got to be kidding me. And you're basically what you're telling me is I'm blessed. I never went to Harvard. Let me continue.
Credentials question. I had never had anyone question whether I was intelligent until I got to Harvard, and it was a defining point of my experience there. It's why I really was one of the many reasons I was miserable there my freshman year.
Yeah.
You feel completely out of place, and people keep telling you shouldn't be here, and yet some of the people I went to school with were far less smart than me or the other black folks there. They got there because their daddy and their granddaddy. I went to school with some
How do you know that you and the other black people that went to Harvard were smarter than the white people that went there? See, once again, she's just blathering on. She doesn't know what she's talking about. And how did she know that she was smarter than the other white kids that went to Harvard? Did she ace all her tests or whatever? I mean, someone please tell me. You know, inquiring minds want to know. Let me go on. Let her continue with the digest with the diarrhea.
Money into Harvard to get them in. But that affirmative action is okay with this majority. They said that the people who benefited from slavery, their descendants, who are so far ahead of black folk in terms of opportunity, that we'll never catch up to them. I don't care how many Oprahs we get. Those people's affirmative action is a-okay because those people can pay for fancy trips for them. But you people who want to get in just because of your brains, but you're not from a legacy, too bad. You can't come in.
We're out of time, but I would commend people to read the JFK admissions essay, which is a truly hilarious document in which JFK says, well, I want to go to Harvard. The reasons I have for wishing to go to Harvard are several. I feel that Harvard can give me a better background, a better liberal education than any other university. It goes on like that. Point being, though, this has been a finishing school for the elite for a very long time. Totally. Thank you so much. I know I kept you long at work tonight, but I truly and genuinely appreciate you coming on. That's fantastic.
Okay, now, there's a question I would like to ask after hearing all that. You know, oh, I got into Harvard because of affirmative action. No, you probably got into Harvard because it was based on a race-based quota, not affirmative action. And, Pianchi says, getting a degree based on skin color does not mean you will perform in the job place. It does not work. Yes, I totally agree with that. Now, I got a question I'd like to ask. Can someone tell me if Harvard, the education you get at Harvard is of a higher quality than what you get at Howard University? Harvard is a supposed white school. Howard is a prestigious black school in Washington, D.C. I mean, think about that. Just think about it. Is the quality of education you get at Harvard higher than the quality of education you get at Howard? Because the case, then once again, black folks, you are really telling on yourselves by saying, oh, well, if I go to Howard, Howard is good, but Harvard is better. So, you know, affirmative action. I get into Harvard. Oh, man, I'm on my way. You're not on your way when you go to Howard University? Come on, I mean, think about this, people. Think about it. So you're telling me that the people who go to these prestigious black schools like Howard University or NCANT or any of the rest of them, are you saying that these people are just rejects from the better schools like Yale and Harvard and USC? Are you telling me that? Is that what you're telling me? Come on, I mean, think about this, people. So if I go on a job and I went to a black school and the credentials I have are the same as a person who went to a white school, does that mean I won't get the job? Oh, you didn't go to Harvard, so we can't hire you. Or if I went to Howard, got a better education than a person did when they went to Harvard, they're just going to pick the white person because they're simply white and they went to Harvard instead of Howard? Come on, think about this, people. Think about it. That's why I can blow holes in this whole affirmative action thing. And she gets up there bloviating about Clarence Thomas. No, she never liked Clarence Thomas because Clarence Thomas was a black man who was a conservative. That's the only reason why we get so much flack about Clarence Thomas. Same thing with Ben Carson. Same thing with Larry Elder. Because these people, how can you be black and be a conservative? How can you be black and be a Republican? How can you be black and be a Christian? Now, I'm not saying that Clarence Thomas is a Christian. I don't believe he is. But there are people, I've actually had someone tell me that it's impossible for a black man to be a Christian. I actually had someone tell me that. Sent me an email several years ago saying it's impossible for a black man to be a Christian. Listen to these people, man. My wife, she comes from a country, Liberia, that had the first female president in African history. Guess where she got her education? Harvard. Tell me if the country of Liberia benefited from her going to Harvard. Oh, but people in the United States, they were just singing her praises. Oh, they finally got a woman as a president. Oh, yeah. My wife wasn't impressed. My wife said, that lady been in there for 12 years and Liberia still hasn't gotten out of the doldrums. My wife was not impressed at all. And a lot of people in Liberia, they were like, yeah, all she did was benefit herself. That's all she did. But she went to Harvard. Oh, and she's a woman. Oh, yeah. Things are going to get better. They didn't get any better. Y'all understand the kookiness and all this political, you know, this political correctness that we live in? Y'all understand what I'm trying to get at here? Now, I'm not a journalist. I'm not a news anchor or anything like that, but I think I can do a job 20 times better than Joy Reid does. And I'm not saying I got all my I's dotted and my T's crossed. I'm not saying I am perfect. I am not saying that I'm all that. But I think I can do a job 20 times better than Joy Reid, because all Joy Reid does is bloviate. She shoots her mouth off into the funnel of victimhood. She sees the world she views the world through a lens of race. That's why she talks the way she does. And she thinks she is so smart. Oh, yeah, I went to Harvard. Yeah, I got in because of affirmative action. Yeah, I was so much smarter than the white people that went there, even though she couldn't compare herself to any one of them. And Pianchi says the graduation rate at Howard is less than 50% in 6 years. Therefore, students pay 50% more in tuition, costing your loan more. Yeah. Many black kids in elementary school cannot do math and read at grade level. And I wonder, why is that? Is it because the white people are holding them back? Is it because white folks have come up with a different formula for math? You know, yeah, we'll let the black folks know. We'll let the black folks think that 2 + 2 = 4, but with us, 2 + 2 = 15. But let the black folks go on and just believe that 2 + 2 is 4. And I'm telling you all, let me tell you all something about education. It begins at home. It has nothing to do with, you know, I don't care how poor looking the black schools look compared to the white schools. It does not mean that black kids are at a disadvantage to white kids, because we have libraries. We have Amazon. Tell you, you know, someone needs to remind these parents, you know, stop, you know, going, getting your nails done and getting new rims on your cars and everything, and investing in your child's education. That's why black people are being held behind, not because of white people holding them down. How are they holding them down? How? Someone please tell me. How are white people holding down black folks? And I mentioned this story before. 1974, I started first grade. I was reading on a third grade reading level. In 1974, I was out reading the white students and the black students. And you know who was singing my praises? And I'm not a person who wants to brag about this or anything like that. But you know who was singing my praises? The white teachers. Hey, Vincent, how you? There were teachers that knew me. I wasn't even in their class. I'd be walking down the hallway. Oh, hey, Vincent. How does she know me? I'm not in her class. Now, the problem with me coming up, I was a little lazy. That's why my grades didn't reflect my intelligence level. Because I was a little lazy. But let me tell you something. I think, if I'm correct, when I was growing up, I think my family was the only one that had a set of encyclopedias, if I'm correct. Because when I went to my friends' houses, I didn't see encyclopedias in their houses. But we had two sets of encyclopedias, and every now and then I would go into the basement, break open an encyclopedia. You know, my parents, they subscribed to Time Life books, and we started getting books every other month, you know. And I would read those books. Don't tell me that black people are at a disadvantage to white folks. You can't tell me that. You cannot convince that. You cannot convince me of that. And Pianchi says that is why they cannot perform when they hit college. Blacks are overrepresented and low paying. Oh my gosh, if he ain't telling the truth. African Americans are overrepresented among low paying college majors. More African Americans are going to college than ever before. But according to new research from the Center on Education and the workforce at Georgetown University, African-American college students are more likely to pursue majors that lead to low-paying jobs, setting up many for future debt and underemployment. And over time, these occupational choices contribute to the wealth and opportunity gap between whites and blacks that spans generations. And Bring Your Boy asked me, he said, lazy or just needed that push? I probably needed that push. I probably did need that push. But everywhere I go today, people are like, man, this is you smart. I got a friend of mine, I saw her today, for the past 30 years, and I'm not exaggerating when I say this, for the past 30 years, she's been trying to get me to go on Jeopardy because she believes I'm that smart. Now, I don't go around like, yes, I am so smart. Oh, get away from me. I don't want to be touched by your low IQ. I don't do that. I don't look down on people because I might be quote-unquote smarter than somebody else. I don't like doing that because I might be smart in some things, but there's something that you're probably smarter than I am in. So I that's why I don't trust the IQ, the intelligence quotients, and all that crazy mess. But anyway, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. This first hour went by, just flew by. But anyway, let me go and do the advertisements and everything, and I will see you guys on the other side. You are listening to Black Bicolor Only on CNM Radio.
Looking for fake news? You won't find it here. Conservative Nation Media, America's best truth detector.
Million voters can pull the wrong lever, and it's still the wrong lever.
We have Nico. Nico is a member of the Shelter Pet Group.
That's right. A group known especially for their sunspot sleeping, ball chasing, leg rubbing, couch purring, bed leaping, and of course companionship.
Wonderful. And what breed would you say Nico is?
I have to go with a tabby-ish Persian kind of mix.
Tremendous cat.
I'd also like to point out her coat's wonderful mix of colors. Is it black, gray, black, brown?
Somewhere in between.
Indeed.
You know, it's always special when we get to see a cat like this.
Just look how she struts.
It's like she owns the place.
And how she's so incredibly cute in her indifference to commands.
A strong-willed feline.
Ah, and see how she curls up and cuddles her person.
The pitch on her purring is simply perfect.
Nice one.
I know. Fantastic cat.
Fantastic indeed. But really the best way to know an amazing shelter pet like Nico is to meet one.
Visit the shelterpetproject.org today. Adopt. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
All right. Welcome back to the show. We are at the top of the hour. And if you would like to call in, the call-in number is 646-478-5284. Now, before I go into the program, you know, I was listening to that last advertisement about the shelter pets. You know, and I want to let people know I'm a cat person, you know. Yeah, the cat's out the bag, pun intended. But, yes, I'm a cat person. I love cats, you know. You know, some people, they don't like them rubbing on them and, you know, and jumping on their couches or anything like that. But I'm a cat person because they're easier to take care of than dogs. And, you know, they seem to show more affection than a dog does, you know. Now, I ain't trying to beat you over the head if you're a dog person. But, you know, I'm a cat person, you know. And one of these days I'll probably end up getting me a cat, you know. But getting a cat, I mean, especially a pure breed, oh my goodness, they are expensive. I was looking to get an Abyssinian. Them things cost $900 for the kittens. I said, my goodness, this is expensive for something that's just gonna run around, knock stuff off your table, and use the litter box and curl up on your lap when you're trying to do work on a computer. But yeah, I love cats. I grew up with cats, you know. I got experience with cats and everything, so, you know. But I know some people going to look at me like, Vincent, I thought you were a manly man, you know. Well, I still am, but I'm a manly man who likes cats. But anyway, before the break, I was sitting here talking about, you know, the stupidity of one Joy Reid. And I'm going to go on. Usually I will take phone calls right now, and hopefully I can get to the phones, but I wanted to continue this journey of exposing these stupid black women who are fighting for the liberal cause. And the next one I want to talk about, oh my goodness, what is this girl's name? What is this girl's name? I forgot her name. She was on the Breakfast Club, and she was trying to disrespecting Vivek Ramaswamy. She Lauren Figaro or something like that. Teslin Figaro, that's her name. Teslin Figaro. Now here's another dumb black broad who brings her hostility to a conversation, because once again, she's got people figured out, you know. She's this, you know, hey, you know. and you see this tactic employed by the harpies on The View a lot. They already got you figured out. If you are a conservative or a Republican, they already have you figured out. And when they come to ask you the hard questions they won't ask a Joe Biden and about Hunter Biden's laptop, but I digress, but they won't ask these same questions of a Joe Biden, but they will put the hard questions on the conservatives, because, you know, if you're conservative, something got to be wrong with you, because conservatives, they are misogynistic, they are racist, they want to throw grandma off the cliff, you know, things of that sort. So this lady, Teslin, let me pull her up. I mean, and it's people like Teslin Figaro that really gets my blood boiling a bit, because they'll come here and they'll ask you these questions and you try to answer them, and they keep coming in and, you know, they talk over you. And the beta males on the Breakfast Club, I forget what one's name is, but I know another is called Charlemagne the God. They will defend their precious black queens. You know, they get in here and they're trying to correct Vivek Ramaswamy. They're trying to tell him, stop talking over her. You know, she let her answer the question, but she wouldn't let him answer the question because she got him all figured out. But let's dig into the brains of this, if that's what you can call them. I don't know. You cut her brain, you cut her skull open. I don't know what you see up there, brain or swamp mush or I don't know. But
yes, I do. So I've heard a lot of, you know, what you think and your vision, and I'm a very practical person, and I want to kind of oppose sure. to talking about your opponents. Let's talk about you for a moment, and let's actually talk about your policy. Explain to me your position on this civic duty voting.
Sure. So my position is, I think that every kid who graduates from high school should know the minimums about the country that we require an immigrant to know about the country in order to become a citizen. So there's a test. My mom had to pass it. Every immigrant has to pass it to this country. It asks you some basic questions. What are the three branches of government? What branch of government does the U.S. president lead? Some basic questions about what is the Bill of Rights, like a multiple choice exam or some of them you write in. I think that if we're going to ask immigrants to pass that test, as we should, I think every 18-year-old who graduates from high school should have to pass that as well, because young people, it goes back to that issue of pride. You don't value a country that you don't know something about. You don't value something you inherit. You value something you have a stake in creating, in building, or knowing something about. So how do we think big about this? Well, young people, as I told you, most of them, very few of them vote as it stands today. Super small numbers, and apparently 60% of them say they would rather give up their right to vote than give up TikTok. Well, I say, all right, let's take that to the next level. How about we do something that raises the voting age from 18 to 25, but you still get to vote at 18 if you just pass that same civics test that an immigrant has to pass in order to vote. And tests aren't for everybody, so be it. Then you at least serve in the military or a first responder role for 6 months. That's my civic duty voting proposal. And the reason is, I'll actually make a prediction. I think youth voting in this country will skyrocket. After from a very low level right now, it will skyrocket because you value something you actually have to earn. And I think that this is not a left-wing or right-wing point. We all have duties as citizens, right? You know, we aspire to free market capitalism, right? Materialist advance. And that's the life I've lived as well, by the way. My parents came to this country with not a lot of money. I've lived the American dream. I've made a lot of money by building businesses. That's one side of what it means to be an American. But part of it is we also have duties to this country. And I think the more we wake that up, actually, the voting age only became 18 in 1971 in the context of the Vietnam draft. So I just think reviving those ideas is going to be
good. Let's prove your point. Nick, our camera guy, do you know the three branches of the federal government?
Over 24, so it don't matter.
But I'm just saying, but nobody knows they're 24. Red, do you know the three branches?
Executive.
Well, I got a test. I got a test. I would like to see if you're willing to pass, because I believe in civic engagement. I
don't know what they find so funny there, you know, she's already coming with her hostility, and trust me, it gets worse, you know, this lady, you know, she looked like she got weave in her hair. I think someone pulled on that weave a little too hard and may have exposed a little bit of her brain or something like that. And like I said, folks, I'm not going to be nice with these people. I'm not going to be nice because they are so dense. But anyway, let's go on.
Changing the ideas of what political opponents so look like, what they should look like, or political candidates. Are you willing to take a test with me quickly? Because I just have a couple of questions for you.
I will. And the way this is opening up, I have a feeling I'm about to fail it, but that's good. Let's do it.
That's right, yeah. Just for clarity, I am an independent. I'm not a Democrat or a Republican. Cool. I think that's important for the premise of the argument.
She says she's an independent. I very much doubt that. I very much doubt that. I seriously doubt that. I bet you she voted for Obama and voted for Biden. I very much really doubt that this lady is an independent. That's just something, you know, some people say because they say, you know, because they might get a lot of flack, you know, from somebody on the other side or something like that. Now, me, I can say I'm an independent because I'll go after Republicans and Democrats, you know. I'll go after both of them. I tend to go after Democrats more often because they're the ones that are pushing more the beaver scat than the Republicans are. But the Republicans, they're not guiltless either, you know. So, but anyway, let me continue.
I know you did a lot of debating at Harvard. I also want to make it clear these are the same questions that I asked liberal.
Oh, he went to Harvard? Where have we heard that one before? Anyway, I digress.
Democrat Marianne Williamson. So I want to make sure that we put that out there as well, just to kind of set the foundation.
I'm
for the
open
test.
To being humbled. Let's do this.
Okay, great. Let's go. Important it is to have pride in this country. I'm also a veteran, by the way, for the United States Air Force. So when is it that you voted for the first time?
I voted in 2020.
Okay, so you're how old again?
I'm 37 years old.
So for how many years you sat around and did not get involved at all in any civic engagement? Is that my understanding?
A long time is the answer. And actually, that's what I wrote this book about. I'm not holding myself out as some sort of model. I'm actually offering myself as a self-reflection of my journey as a citizen, to whom this country has given much, right? As an adult, when you have kids, it changes your perspectives. I'm very honest about that. Absolutely.
Okay, no problem. So let's go deeper into the self-reflection. So you sat around for, and sir, I'm being as respectful as I possibly can. Please don't take anything.
She is not being respectful. She's not being respectful. You can tell by her eyes, her attitude, that she does not believe it. If you don't think like she does, this is how a lot of black female liberals think. If you don't think like they do, you don't get their respect. And she's not trying to be respectful. Not at all.
And you don't even have to be. And you don't even have to be. So take it off and let's go.
So you've been sitting around in the country that my ancestors built for about 20 years.
And there's the slaves built this country rhetoric. There's that cliche again. Oh, slaves built this country. My ancestors built this country. Okay, well, who are your ancestors? You know, simply because you're black, you think your ancestors built this country? Did you ever go, you know, to 123andMe or ever go to Ancestry.com and find out who your ancestors are? Because looking at this young lady, she's got a little cream mixed into her coffee, if you know what I mean. And this thing about slaves built this country, no, they didn't. Can you tell me how the states that were slave-free, how they were built up? Slaves did not build this country. And this is a rhetoric they keep pushing. Slaves built this country. They built this country, the country we live in, and we need reparations because we're the ones who built this country. You don't know if your parents were slaves or not. Yeah, you may be black, and there's a high likelihood that your ancestors were slaves, but that does not mean that slaves built this country. Let her continue to bloviate.
Your parents came over, as immigrants brought you over. You made millions, according to your resume, off of this country, and you have absolutely not been involved in civics. One, not voting, and two, let me just ask, because I know you mentioned earlier you don't want to sit around at the debate and talk about accomplishments. Let's make the accomplishments pretty simple. In high school, were you ever a class president or take any leadership role?
Were you a class president? That qualifies you to be president of the United States? Can somebody in my chat room tell me what qualifies a person to be can someone tell me what qualifies a person to be president of the United States? I know the age, you can't be less than 35 years of age. But I never saw anywhere in the Constitution that you had to be president, you know, a class president or something like that in order to qualify to be president of this country. But let me go.
Your opponent did, Chris Christie. He was the class president. So have you ever taken any leadership at all?
And, Chris Christie may have been a class president, but does that mean he became an effective leader? I'd give a hearty no to that. Because Chris Christie is a butt kisser and a flip-flopper. But I digress. Let me go on.
Can I just correct a couple factual things that are kind of important? My parents didn't bring me over to the country.
I was born in this country, and I'm proud of that.
No, I know you were born here in Ohio.
Yeah. You know, you mentioned my parents.
I'm saying your parents were immigrants.
And it's all right. You said your parents brought you over to this country. I thought I would set that record straight.
I mean, they were immigrants, but let's not go down the water hole.
No, we're not going to water hole. I just want to correct a couple facts. And then the other thing
You were born here in Ohio,
I was born in Cincinnati, Ohio. That's right.
Right. So you've been here your entire life. So the question is, did you take any leadership role in middle school, high school, class president?
I did.
I know you played tennis. What is it? Explain it to
Student council.
Yeah, Bianchi. Yeah, she's talking over him because she has this messed up thinking that she's got this guy figured out. She's got them all figured out. Oh, you didn't vote until you were what'd she say? Till he was 20. He first voted. Well, he was 20 years old or something like that. I forget it. But it says he's 37 years. He first voted in the year 2020. And she thinks, oh, well, that doesn't qualify you to be a president. You sitting around here doing nothing, and now you just decide to vote just 3 years ago? Listen to how she talks.
But, you know, I think that this is I've held leadership roles over my life, but those don't qualify me to do what I'm doing now.
No, it kind of does. Okay, it kind of does. Well, I'm giving the test. I'm the test administrator.
Okay, all right, there you go.
So there she goes. You see how she's talking over? Like, oh, yeah, no. I'm the one giving the test. You know, I'm amazed she didn't do the little snake neck like some of these women do and wagging the finger. But let me go on.
I'll tell you, I've led companies as well. Is the other leadership role I've played is, and I want to talk about one early part of your premise that I also want to say, mm-hmm. bring it to the country point. The point you use the word sitting around. You know, I'm not somebody who say it. I want the next generation, my kids' generation, to have more civic duties when they graduate from high school and college than I did when I did. That being said, I wasn't sitting around. I've developed medicines, five of which are FDA-approved products today, one of which is a life-saving therapy in kids, 20 of whom die by the age of 3 if they're not treated, 70% of whom now live lives of a normal duration, another one for prostate cancer. So I don't apologize for making contributions. But,
right, well, I don't want you to filibuster that because that's not the question that I asked.
So that's a filibuster. So he's filibustering. You know, he's trying to show her that he was responsible for five FDA approved drugs that are of a benefit to people today. You know, he said that one of them was a therapy for children who, if they didn't get this type of therapy, they would die at a certain age, but now they can live regular lives, you know, but that doesn't count. That doesn't count.
And I don't consider as a veteran, I'm talking about service. I'm not talking about what you did for profit. I'm not.
So developing FDA-approved drugs to help other people is not service? You hear what she's saying here? Yeah, she is. She is, Bianchi. She is. She is. Just check her out. Just look her on, because I checked her out. And I said, oh, you know, she got a cute face. She looked cute and everything, but she is on the chunky side. She is.
Talking about what you paid people to do with your company. I'm not talking about
I've not served the country.
Because that means nothing to me.
She hasn't been able to ask a question. She's been trying to ask a question, and you've been talking over her.
I'm all ears.
Now, listen to this beta male over here talking about, oh, you talking over her. She's trying to ask a question. What do you think she's doing? She's asking a question. He's trying to answer, and she keeps cutting in because she got him figured out. So it's all right for her to cut in, but nah, you conservative swine, you know, you shouldn't be cutting in on our beautiful, precious princess.
I'm all ears.
I was just correcting a couple facts.
You haven't tried to ask a question.
You've
been cutting her off.
I'm all ears.
Right.
Yeah, but you all ignored when she was cutting him off? See, these are beta males.
Again, is your goal is to raise the standard. And
her name is Teslin Figaro. Let me. It's an unusual name. I never heard of her until. Wait a minute. I'm trying to get this in. trying to get this in answer. Okay, there we go. That's her name, Teslin Figaro. But let me go on.
You're saying you want people to believe in country, you want people to have civic engagement. And, sir, I just... And all. And when I say sit around, I don't mean you haven't done anything. I'm talking about in regards to service. Because one thing about political office, the same way that you want to change how people look at politics and look at this country, I want to change how people look at politicians. And when I see that someone hasn't did anything at all to be of service to mankind, to take a leadership role, it's not good enough to just be on student council. Were you a leader? All of that applies. Have you been able to get anybody in the room at any time, from the high school gymnasium to Ohio, Republican leadership there to now, have you been able to get anybody in a room to believe in this vision? I don't agree with a lot of your vision statement, but I do know you've been going around having these discussions and getting everybody emotionally worked up to talk about vision and debate, but I want to get to the practical. You're trying to go from preschool to president of the United States. You're skipping.
Now, what leadership role does she play? Keep listening. You're gonna hear her leadership role in a moment. You're gonna hear about it.
Over city council, county council, mayor, governor. You want to go straight to the top. So my question is: this a PR? Is this the PR, the perception of reality, or can you point to any leadership where you've been able to get people to believe in what you're talking about that they're not paid to do? On any of these vision statements that you have, if not, then to me it's a mute point because you're holding a standard that you haven't met yourself.
So if you're only going to count governments,
were you a leader? Did you do anything to rally anybody? Did you fight for better lunch? I did in the 5th grade with Miss Harris.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about government. I can go all the way back from the 5th grade every year, sir, because people who are in service to this country, if you're going to go around saying you want people to believe in this country that I signed up to die for, then I want to make sure that you're holding that same standard. So not government, not political. Let's not get...
You signed up to die for, but yet you're still alive. Wow. So she thinks her service in the Air Force, which I believe is a noble calling. My dad was in the Air Force. I respect the Air Force and everything. But she's basically saying that she's more qualified to be president than he is. That's basically what she's saying, because she served in the Air Force. Now, listen to what she says her leadership role is. She already mentioned Mrs. Harris, but let's go on.
I'm saying, have you did anything of service that we can point to say he is a good leader, like Chris, and I'm not even a fan of Chris Christie, but he was the student council president in high school. So have you done anything of service besides yourself that has not benefited yourself? It's just a simple question.
So the acts of service.
So she's saying that his service in getting 5 FDA approved drugs, it was just benefiting himself. He was just out to get rich. Even though it benefited other people. He already said it benefited children who died at a certain age. But, you know, she's like, oh, it just benefited yourself. You just getting rich off of yourself. Now, I want to know what kind of leadership role she had.
That I have performed are small, so small that I don't even want to talk about them to boast. But, yes, have I volunteered for this country? Yes, I have. I've always
so
been
like,
interested
well,
in
let's healthcare. Talk about it. It's okay to
but
talk about
the North,
small things.
I mean,
that's it.
Here she is talking over him again. There she is. But the beta males at the Breakfast Club, they're like, no, let the precious black princess keep talking. She's making sense, but he's not.
All things, right? But thank you.
No, well, just
No, it's not a no. It's just something I don't like boasting about. I
well, we're not boasting. We're
yeah,
it's an interview. You're boasting on your vision
Correct.
And everything
Look,
else.
I think you
boasted on the millions of dollars that you made. So let's just throw it.
And he never mentioned anything about the millions of dollars he made. He never mentioned one time about the millions of dollars he made. See, this is how they argue with you. They think they have you figured out. And he already said that what he did benefited a lot of people. Yes, yeah. And I'm going to be like this. If what you do is going to benefit a lot of people, yeah, now. What her salary is, where she lives, what kind of car she drives. I'd like to ask her that. myself, because I can guarantee you she probably makes more in a year than I do. So let's keep going. She said, I'll help you out. See, there she goes. Got that nasty, self-righteous attitude. See, you can't debate with people like this because they don't care about debate. They don't care about whether they're right or wrong. All they care about is their viewpoint. That's all they care about.
Because maybe you're confused. In the fifth grade, Miss Harris was snatching.
You see the veiled insult? Or maybe you're confused. Vivek Ramaswamy is not confused. She might be confused, but he's not. He know Vivek. Nobody knows Vivek Ramaswamy better than he does. Nobody on this planet knows him better than he does. So you got him. You're trying to sit here that you got him all figured out, like you're a god or something. The only people who know Vivek Ramaswamy better than anyone is Vivek, God, and the devil. So let's keep going.
Everybody in the classroom. So me as a 10-year-old, I went to the principal and said, I'm tired of Miss Harris snatching papers. And I organized the students around getting Miss Harris to stop snatching papers. Now, there was a consequence for that. I got suspended for 5 days for talking back, and I got in trouble. I got a spanking, and I was on punishment for months and months. But that is a simple.
I find that story hard to believe because you organize, you know, students to tell Mrs. Harris to stop snatching papers, and you got suspended for 5 days. I find that hard to believe. I really do. Not saying that it didn't happen once again, but I find it very hard to believe, and that she was on punishment for months and months. And she thinks she's better qualified because she rallied the students up to tell Mrs. Harris to stop snatching papers. What do you mean snatching papers? She was 10 years old. Now, see, she thinks that she is more qualified to be a leader than he is because, you just worked at some drug company that made drugs to make to better people's lives, and you made millions off of it. That's all I can see in that. You hear her? And Bringing Boy Yee, Suzette saying she got paid to be in the Air Force, so she benefited from her service. Exactly. She didn't volunteer when she signed up. No, she didn't.
Way of organizing people. So I want you to kind of boast about it the way you did the millions of dollars and said what you did.
He didn't boast about his millions of dollars. See? You see how they do?
The drug, the pharmaceutical companies. What leadership can you point to?
What he said about the drug companies was that he helped develop 5 drugs that were approved by the FDA. That's all he said. He didn't say anything about benefiting from millions of dollars.
I've been able to rally anybody around anything that is of service that you did not pay anybody to do.
Who did you rally? Really? Who did you rally? Some kids in the fourth grade to tell Mrs. Harris to stop snatching papers? And you got a spanking and you were on punishment for months and months? I find that hard to believe. I really do. I really do.
Sure. So I've always been drawn to healthcare. That's why I ended up founding companies in that space. When I was in high school, part of what drew me into it was that I was a volunteer at a local hospital. I actually became the leader of that group of volunteers that actually discharged women who had recently given birth. That was it. Nothing to do it.
Did you do anything we can point to stand out?
But I want to say something about that because I say that in the book. If I'm being really honest, why did I do that in high school? A part of the motivation, I'll be just brutally honest with you, was part of the motivation was that's actually what allows you to get into a good college when you graduate.
Right,
you want to check the box.
So it was about you.
So
it was about self.
So there's and I'm admitting very few other people do, but I've got to be honest about it.
Well, and then she narrows her eyes. You should see how she narrows her eyes. It make me want to, I'm tempted to slap the narrow out of her eyes. But she, as if, what she did, her joining the Air Force wasn't about her. You're not going to get me to believe that this girl joined the Air Force because she cared about this country. You're not going to get me to believe that. She saw some benefit in joining the Air Force. Maybe it can help her pay for school. I don't know. But you're not going to get me to believe that she joined the Air Force because she was a She was a dedicated American, and she wanted to fight for the freedoms. And you're not going to get me to believe that. I don't believe that at all.
Why I did it.
Yeah, when I graduated. Myself, and I'm going to be on and I'm going to give it back to the guys.
So you joining the Air Force wasn't about yourself. I'm just saying.
Honest about it with you.
Yep.
Leadership is not about self.
I agree with you on that.
Beware of the finger. When you point your finger at people, sweetheart, beware of the three that point back at you.
It's heard is that everything is about you. And to be honest with you, this is just a PR campaign, sir, to be honest with you.
And see, she's gaslighting now. This is all about you. This is all about you. And you have how rapid she talks. You know, she wants to get out as many words as she can. You got that little turbo tone going.
And I think you're trying to go further to the right because you want the Republicans to accept you as a man of color. And
there's another cliche right there. Oh, you're just a Republican. You're just doing what you're doing because you want to be accepted by the Republicans as a man of color. That's something that the black people on the left, they always accuse black conservatives are, oh, you're just trying to get Browning points with the conservatives. They do that all the time.
I think the only way you think you can do that is to be so extreme.
She needs to do a little bit more work in service herself. Because the only service she's giving is lip service. That's the only service she's giving. Ripping off at the lip. That's all she's doing.
Because she did ask me a question, and then you guys said you wanted to hear a response, but I think I heard an expression of opinion. So just I want to make sure you're all done before I respond to it.
No, just wanted to say that even then, I would still want you to point out, even at the hospital, something that you did that made you stand out when actually taking the lip.
He already told you what made him stand out, but it didn't fit her point of view. So she's like, no, that doesn't qualify you. No, you just benefited off the millions that you made with your drug companies. That's all you did.
But you already answered it. You said
this woman is a bonehead.
Exactly. And I'm being very honest about that.
Everything has been about you. So
like I said, sweetheart, when you point your finger at somebody, beware of the three that point back at you.
It's very hard for me to follow leaders that make everything about them.
A veteran? Really? Seriously? I'm not so sure about that. She may have been in the Air Force. I'm not so sure about her trying to brag about being a veteran, which is what she's doing.
You might want to work on that because it's a lot of veterans and Republicans. So you might want to work on that talking point.
See, you
and maybe do some volunteering.
You see how snooty she is? You see how snappy she is? Nothing that a Republican does or a conservative does will pass the test with these people. Nothing. Nothing at all. Because she's already got them figured out. And see, too, this is why a lot of times that I won't debate with a lot of people. And it's not because I'm scared or anything. It's because I know what to expect. I did this back in December with a guy named Warren who does a show called New Orleans Wake Up. And I knew what to expect. And when I talked to him, I explained what I was about and everything. He's like, oh, well, you're just doing this because you're getting paid and all this and everything. You're just getting paid. And I told him, I said, I never received a dime. In the 14 years I've been doing this program, I have never received a dime from anyone. Nobody ever came to me and said, Vincent, this is what I want you to say on this program. When Mr. Garding, Robert Garding, invited me to become a part of his program, he never said, Vincent, this is what I want you to say. Nobody ever told me, because I'm like this, if you're going to get there and tell me what I'm going to say, I'm not going to be a part of your little organization. But this is how they think. They think because you're black or you're a person of color, you're just trying to get Browning points with the white conservatives. And that's what Warren said. He said about me, he said, I'm a black by color only comfort dog for the white conservatives. I don't do this because I'm trying to gain points with the white conservatives. Like I said before, I'm about the truth. I don't care what your political lean is, but let me go on.
You're on the campaign trail.
I'm going to give it back to Charlamagne and Envy.
I want to be respectful. I want to make sure you got everything you wanted to on the table before
I
responded.
If this was just us, it would be a lot more.
You
got
to tell me. I'm the guest on your show. You tell me when I'm good to speak.
Go ahead.
You sure? Mm-hmm. You sure about that? If we're good.
Yeah, we're sure.
So I think...
And Vivek is saying that, you know, I think he's being slightly sarcastic because it's like, okay, you're the one who's got me all figured out, you know, continue talking, you know, are you sure you got it all out? Are you sure? You know, so, but, this is the type of vitriol you get when you get into a debate with these liberals. They already got you figured out. And if you're a black person or you're a person of color and you're following along the lines of conservatism, oh, they have a very special place in their personal hell for you. I'm just going to tell you that. They already got you figured out. Just like they got Clarence Thomas figured out. They had him figured out long before the allegations that were brought up by Anita Hill. They already had Clarence Thomas figured out. He's a black man. He's a conservative. So he is a sellout. He doesn't understand what black people have gone through. And this is the type of rhetoric that they keep pushing. But you can see how airheaded this woman is. Very airheaded. And I don't think, you know, she may have, I'm not so sure about her service in the Air Force. I'm not so sure about that. She wants to pony that around and, you know, I did this and I was in the Air Force. And she's basically saying, I'm more qualified to be president than you are. Heaven help us if a person like her ever becomes a president. I mean, for real. For real. Now, I'm going to try to get this one out. I'm going to try to get to my phones. I really am. I know I'm going a little overboard, but I just wanted to get these out. Now, the third person I want to talk about who's an airhead, black woman again, it's a lady named Jill Scott. Jill Scott. Oh, boy, I saw my wife played a clip of Jill Scott last night on YouTube. And, folks, let me tell you, this is one of the most disrespectful. This is one of the most disrespectful renditions of the national anthem I have heard.
Oh, say,
Folks, yeah, Pianki, yeah. I understand why you asked that question. And just in case you didn't understand what she was singing, because she, you know, I've heard her sing before. She sounds a lot better than that, and she sounds like someone choking a turkey while I was getting hit by a jackknife and 18-wheeler. But it says, "Oh, say, can you see by the blood in the streets that this place doesn't smile on you, colored child, whose blood built this land with sweat and their hands, but will die in this place and your memory erased. Oh, say, does this truth hold any weight? This is not the land of the free, but the home of the slaves." Once again, you hear that rhetoric about slaves built this land again, you know. And my question for people like Jill Scott, people who think like she does, if this country is such a bad place, why don't you just leave? Why don't you just leave? Now, you got countries around this world where the people, if they had an opportunity they would leave that country because of the oppression they suffer in that country. Now, if we're suffering oppression in the United States, how come you just don't leave? Just leave. Find a country that you think you can, you know, have a better life in and just go there. No one's holding you back. But you got people in other countries. They can't leave their countries the conventional way. Lives in order to find freedom that is evident in the United States. The United States has the biggest crowd of immigrants than any other country in this world. Now, this country is so bad. Oh, the slaves built this country. Why don't you leave? And you talking about our memories are erased. Where are memories of black people being erased? Someone please tell me. Any of you ever heard of a guy named Martin Luther King? Malcolm X? Ralph Bunche? Harriet Tubman? Sojourner Truth? And y'all ever heard of these guys? Now, the only people I think whose memories are being erased are people like Hiram Revels, one of the first people to, one of the first black men to be a part of Congress. And so it's about 9 or 10 of them. Some people, you know, some people don't even want to talk to, don't want to remember even Booker T. Washington or Frederick Douglass. Yeah, exactly, Suzette. Where can they go? Where can they go? That you have the same freedoms that you have here in America, Singapore, Australia, somewhere in the Caribbean. Where? And you want to talk about you being oppressed? This country has. You are enjoying freedoms to the point where you can make up a stupid song like that. And nobody calls you out on it except people like myself and others who think like I do. And you can get up there. Nobody's oppressing you because of that song. So why don't you just pack your bags and find a country to move to? And just like Suzette said, where are you going to go? Tell me, where are you going to go? I mean, this is just stupid stuff. Okay, people. Let me get here. It took a while. But, you know, the fruit bats are on the loose. Oh, no! It's the fruit bat! There you go. That's my fruit bat alert. Y'all know what that means. I'm going to the phones, and if you are coming on the phones and want to indulge in any type of disrespect, that's character assassinations, excessive profanity, ad hominem attacks, gaslighting, things of that sort, you're going to have a very short time on this show, okay? I don't care if you agree with me or disagree with me, but just be respectful in your interactions on this show. No, I haven't heard of Larry Gators. I'm going to have to look that up. Thank you. Thank you for bringing that to my attention. But let me go to this first caller. And we might go over the show a little bit, but it might go into the archive. So, you know, I know I took some time.
You don't
have to
spend
no
extra money. You know, it's been a pretty good show. But that affirmative action, I'm glad that that's out of the way.
Yeah.
And see, here's the thing. Courts cannot make laws. And any institution that abided by that, they did that voluntarily. They were not forced. Affirmative action could not apply to private entities. Harvard died because they wanted to. But, you know, like I said, I remember back in the 1970s, someplace out in California, it was an auditorium session, and Skip Gates was in the audience. And Harvard, some people from Harvard was in attendance. They made the statement that that we will have a major part in creating future black leaders. And today we have what we have. But when they started giving black entrance exam takers 310 points and 270 to Hispanics, zero to whites, and minus 140 to Asians, that right there was blatant discrimination.
Yeah.
But they can do whatever the heck they want to. And Jackson and Reed are Democratic affirmative action darlings. That's what they are.
Yep.
And at least Jackson had a gumption to recuse herself. But Kagan and Ginsburg did not when the decision on same-sex marriage was at the court. And they should have because they had officiated same-sex marriages. They shouldn't have been allowed to vote. And if they hadn't, it would have never passed. And once again, it's not a law. Courts don't make laws. States don't have to abide by that. They can tell them to go pound sand. Consent decrees are just what they are, agreements between two parties. And, you know, you should mention that in your discussion. Now, people think, well, this is a... You know, if you vote in local, if you voting locally, if you vote in state, if you voting for federal candidate, now you're going to say the Supreme Court is the lawmaker? What the hell are they voting for?
I mean, really?
It doesn't make sense. But I don't want you to run over. And that lady who's from the Air Force, she wasn't going to sit her big butt down in the cockpit of no plane.
Yeah, you see how big she is, right? I don't know if she was that big when she was in the Air Force, but she doesn't look like she doesn't look like she's middle aged. She looks like she's still pretty young. So,
and they talking this stuff about slaves built. Slaves ain't built no America. How in the hell? So you gonna say America was built in 76 years? Huh?
Exactly. Yeah.
America was built in 76 years because that's how long slavery is. Lasted in this United States. Importation was outlawed in 1808, and it was done away with the 13th Amendment in 1865. United States didn't come into existence until 1789.
That's right.
With the ratification of the U.S. Constitution. So all this 400 years stuff is a bunch of dumbness. And if people got those type of time machines laying around the house, they need to sell them and become rich.
I mean, really.
Only people I know got time machines and they making no damn money off it.
Yeah, yeah.
Just amazing.
So, yeah. All right. Let me keep you on. I'm gonna get this other caller on. I got two more callers. Okay. Now I'm gonna let you all know if I go, you know, if I go over, it's gonna go in the archive. So if you're on the phone, it's not gonna just cut off. So, but anyway, hello caller, welcome to the show.
Good evening. Good afternoon. How you doing?
Oh, I am glad you called. I need to talk to you about something when the show is over. I need to, you know, something that occurred today. And it's not anything bad, but anyway, how you doing, Iredale?
I'm doing fine, and that's fine. You can call me after the show. I'm doing good. Sorry I missed some of your show, but it's time to take me a little nap, so I said I'll catch what's left of your show and everything, man, you know. But I'm doing great.
I'm glad to hear him. You really made my week coming on, Iredale. You're a good man.
Well, I hope I make the rest of your year also, sir, right into the next year, 2024. I'm alive and kicking. Yes, I am.
That's
and,
good.
Yeah,
that's a good
thing. Yeah, go ahead, Vincent. I mean, cut you off.
Oh, well, I was just saying that's a good thing, you know, because, you know, I understand the and I'm not at liberty to say exactly what it is on this program, but I understand what you gone through within the past several months and everything. So that's a good thing to hear.
Yeah. But one thing about it, man, you can run from the heat, but you so you can't hide from it, boy. So believe me, I've been in AC pretty much the whole day. But you know, I'm just resting, thankful. You know, God's going to bring me through, and actually he's already answering prayer, man. Just, I feel it's just like a test, a setup for a testimony, you know, because after sometimes God puts you in a situation that, you know, down the road you have a chance to really tell folks and help folks out in situations and everything. But yeah, I'm doing great. Again, I'm thankful to be here and have the strength and everything. And man, when I first turned the show on, I'm like, man, I done had nothing to say. I mean, that your show was like off the wall with that lady and that man talking. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
but
y'all, go ahead.
I'm going to keep you on. I'm going to bring on this other caller.
Sure, no problem, man. No problem.
909-732-3943. Welcome to the show. Oh, whoever that is might just be listening. So I'm going to put him on mute and everything. But you all, I did a very unusual today. I did a very unusual thing today. I went into the second hour because I wanted to get out, you know, about these three lovely ladies, you know, these three beautiful black princesses, you know, I just had to get this in because, you know, when the one that really ticked me off was Jill Scott and her rendition of the national anthem. I think that was very disrespectful. And I'm like, if you think that way about this country, once again, just go to another country. Won't you find an African country to go to?
Well, what was that event?
I think it was a 4th of July event. I'm not sure where it was, but she's singing, and they got fireworks going on. Go ahead.
Who was it that let her sing? They the one that we should be asking the question. Why you let that mess on? Hell, that's a Juneteenth. Why did she sing at Juneteenth?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Sing that on Juneteenth. Yeah. But the way she's, you should see her in this clip, the eyelashes she got on and the makeup, she looks like
a clown. Like bird wing.
I mean, yeah,
but
yeah,
they
know, do.
People wear
like
what
someone,
you want.
Yeah. I mean, and when I heard it, this thing ticked me off more than anything. I was like, you've got to be kidding me.
And that argument was between the candidate and I don't know why whites get themselves involved in craziness like that any damn way. Always trying to take an apologetic stance. You ain't got to take no apologetic stance. Why you give that woman that much leeway anyway? That don't make any damn
well,
sense. These people aren't going to vote for you.
Yeah, Vivek Ramaswamy is a dark-skinned Indian. You know, he kind of reminds me of Dinesh D'Souza. And, you know, she was just disrespecting him all through the way. She was like, oh, you're just trying to gain favor with the Republicans because you're a black person. And I was like,
well,
girl, you need to sit down somewhere.
Indian Americans have some of the highest educational attainment and household income in the country above whites.
Yeah.
And you know they own above blacks. You know, she can do what she wants to. But like I was calling in on, Detroit show that my friend used to be on before he died, and they was talking about affirmative. I said, I support affirmative action. And they're going off. I let my grandson take the phone. He said, how you doing, sir? And he basically said, when you come down to giving people, even if they're black, points because of their skin color on a test, that's wrong.
Yeah.
That is totally wrong.
But they say they do it all in fairness.
It's when you inform people that they can participate in a opportunity that they may be able to benefit. It ain't going to mean you're going to get the job or get the contract. It's letting you know you can participate. That's all it's doing.
That's exactly what it is.
And Clarence Thomas was not running a program. And John Danforth, who was the U.S. Senator from Missouri, he's the one that brought forth Clarence Thomas. I know John Danforth's family. They was here at Ralston Perino at one time. But Clarence Thomas, if there was affirmative action, he didn't have nothing to do with it, and it was probably used in the wrong way, which I think I've heard him say. Why would you want to continue something that's wrong? And people saying
exactly.
That he benefited, he don't want nobody else. No, why would you want to continue something that is wrong?
That's right.
Don't make no
sense. Let me see if I... Yeah. 909, are you there? I guess not. Okay, well, I'm just going to... Did I just hang up on... Well, if I did, I didn't mean to. Okay. But, anyway, guys, I'm going to go ahead and get this show wrapped up. If you all don't have anything else to say, I've had a very productive day today. My goodness.
well, I tell you what, our ideas sound better than a good plate of bacon and eggs, man. He really do.
I mean, really, he does. He really does.
Well, thank you very much, but I prefer to have some call me better than a plate of, let's see, broccoli, some good type fish like salmon, and sweet potatoes. But thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Okay.
All right. Well,
guys, I'm going to go ahead and wrap this show up. You guys take care of yourselves. God willing, I should have another edition of Black by Color Only on next Saturday. And you all take care of yourselves. This is Vincent E. Brown. I'm signing off. And until the next time, I'll see you on the rebound.